Dr. Markham will be presenting on wood ash fertilization of irrigated pasture in northeastern California.
A little bit of background on wood ash. It's a waste product from burning of wood and from our lumber mills and forest thinning practices in northeastern California to produce electricity. It's a waste product that we're trying to find a fit in agriculture. You can see the pile there. There's two types of ash. There's a high carbon ash, which is this one, and then a lower carbon ash when they reburn it. Most of it's high carbon ash. You can see it's a low-grade phosphorus potassium fertilizer, and it's the 0.29% is a nitrogen content of it. And it's low cost to farmers. Essentially, the mills will give it to the farmers for the cost of the application. We had a twofold objective in this project here: to examine the growth response of irrigated pasture on a monthly basis, something Larry Ferraro, the colleague, wanted as a livestock advisor for grazing management. And then I was interested in the fertilizer response of wood ash in comparison to commercial 1152 fertilizer in a pasture situation with a low Olson P level. Most of the time, this ash is tilled in, but in this case, we're going to do surface application. Our location, you can see in northeastern California, we're way up here in the northeastern part of the state at a 1,000-meter elevation, and in the Hat Creek Valley here. This is our radio astronomy site there. It's more of a canyon with volcanics below Lassen National Park. It was affected by the eruption of 1915, and the Bidwell Ranch here is one that's been leveled post-World War II. It's a livestock and grass hay production system. Irrigation, in contrast to what you see most of the area, it's by snow melt runoff. It's wild flooded every 2 to 3 weeks with no limits on water use, something amazing for California. The water rights on this ranch are something like 9 acre feet. When in fact the evapotranspiration is about 32 inches. It's high quality water. It's a shallow soil, and you can see they the livestock out there, and you can see our plots in the background here. So we worked with what we have. The plants in this pasture, don't know what they originally seeded with, but it consists of meadow foxtail, a relatively low yielding grass, Kentucky bluegrass. We've got some clover in there, a little bit of plantain, dandelion, and chickweed is some of the weeds. We did an initial soil test there on this soil, looking at our Olson P, which was below what we consider standards in California for treatment with phosphorus fertilizer. The ash comes out of the plant at about pH 13, so it's a liming agent with a lot of calcium oxide. pHs are low, so we do get a little bit of a little bit of liming response there. The potassium in this location was high, so we expect to see no potassium, so our focus was really on phosphorus. Our treatments were simple. The 1152, a couple hundred pounds per acre, is the common treatment. We matched that with P205 levels from the ash, 3.6 tons per acre for the English people. And then the maximum recommended wood ash application is 20 tons per acre, 20% moisture. So we adjusted from the 70% moisture to 20%. And our recommendations are published in this publication that we wrote, I think, in 1999 on use of wood ash in agriculture in California. There was some nitrogen in the wood ash, so we adjusted with urea to make everything uniform on nitrogen. Our plot layout was replicated fenced blocks with individual treatments, 2.4 meters by 2.4. We applied our treatments in February, which would be normal for our area, and then we did monthly forage yields in 2010, and we're almost done with 2011 with a square meter of each plot and then mowing the entire plot and to remove all the forage for the month. Our forage analysis on this was bulking all the samples because we didn't have much money for analysis and looking at nitrogen, protein, ADF, phosphorus. We also wanted to look at traces, copper and zinc, of concern in the area. The picture of the application here, you can see Larry on the right with the high rate of ash. One of the concerns about this cogen ash is it buries the forage and suppresses yield. We didn't know how much. The benchmark written in our publication of 20 tons per acre was based upon good judgment and a limited amount of experience, and that's why we did this trial. And then this lower rate here was equivalent to the 1152. So we put everything on in February. It's a short season climate there. You can see a little bit of snow. When we harvested in April, I'll just zip through these pictures there on a monthly basis. May, June, July, clover comes to bloom, August, September, October, and November. And then the second year, it looked like this, starting off in March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and the most recent one at the end of September. A look at the data. Kind of as expected, you see it start and come up with a peak in July. We really benchmark everything in our extension education programs against evapotranspiration or crop water use, and you can see it pretty much parallels crop water use. It did go flat the second year in the middle of the summer, probably because of the irrigator. With no data on the actual timing of the irrigations, but I think they missed it in the early part of the summer, and that was why it was a little bit flatter. The bottom line is really the yield in the 2 years that we did this study. You can see in the first year, the 1152 was the better yield against a not significantly different than control, but better than the 20 ton per acre yield, which in fact did tend to, visually, you could see it kind of smother the crop. And so it was a slow start, and that was one of our concerns. But the 1152 looked a little bit better. So far in this year, you can see the 1152 lags a little bit, but not significantly different between the treatments. On the analysis, the phosphorus response was evident in the treatments. And you can see them there. They separated out pretty cleanly with the high rate of ash followed by the 1152. This is in the first year. And then the lower rate and then finally the control. And we didn't see any response in the other things we analyzed. End of season soil samples were a bit of a surprise with some pretty high numbers. Maybe because I submitted a lot of organic matter with the soil as well, so we ended up with high numbers. You can see a tendency for the high ash and the high 1152 in the soil samples at the end of the season to be a little bit higher than the low rate of ash or the control, but not statistically different. Problem with when you only have three replicates. Our conclusion on this project was that 75% of the pasture growth occurred in the 4 months in the middle of the summer, pretty much reflecting the ETO. 1152 in the first year resulted in the highest yields and the highest tissue P levels. The plant samples noted a P response, but the post-season soil tests were somewhat inconclusive. In the second year, we only saw trends. We didn't see significant difference. 1152 trended lower. Ash yield tended to go a little bit higher, but differences were not significant. So we plan to resample and continue for a couple more years on this, just see how it plays out long term. With that, we thank some of our sponsors, the ranch and Sierra Pacific Corporation. And with that, I'll answer any questions anybody might have. Yes?
Did you measure molybdenum in the ash, and also did you measure what the plant uptake of that was?
We did not measure molybdenum. But you're onto something. Molybdenum deficiency is around in the community. Just didn't have the resources to sample for that. Yes?
You didn't have an acid soil. Did you look at increase in pH, or did I miss that?
No, we did not. We did not sample for that. That's something we're going to ask Sierra Pacific to pay for. Yes?
What about potassium? You didn't balance the 1152-0 with potassium, correct?
No, we did not. We focused on phosphorus. And the reason was we had such a high potassium soil sample of 260. We were pretty sure we would not see a response. We do have potassium on some other soils in the area of northeastern California, but not here. It's primarily phosphorus, I think. And maybe a little bit of that liming effect that you're mentioning.
Did you look at the ash itself to see if there was a high level of salts coming out of the ash?
It does have quite a bit of salt. I can't tell you what the numbers are, but that could be part of that smothering effect we're talking about.
That's a problem.
That's right. And that's our concern, is to get the growers to get the